Welcome to this first edition of Ask the Pastor. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel. This is a new little feature that we're doing as a church at Forest Hill Presbyterian Church to give members of our congregation opportunities to ask questions of me as their pastor and to respond and to share these answers with anyone who might benefit from instruction from God's Word. So these will be mixed. Some of them will be theological, biblical, practical, combinations thereof. And so it's just called Ask the Pastor. And this is our first one. So I'm glad you are listening or watching. So our first question comes in, and it's this. It has to do with parenting. How should we as parents properly balance the in Christ instruction with false assurance of salvation to our children? What are some words we can say to our children to teach this biblical principle? At bedtime prayer, do we say, "Thank you for calling this child to yourself," or "Please give this child a new heart," or both? Well, this is a very important question, and it really gets to the heart of what it means to raise covenant children faithfully in a way that both trusts in the covenant promises of God and points our children to Christ and to faith in Christ for salvation. And it's arising out of this tension that seeks to acknowledge both the fact that God has made precious covenant promises to our children and the truth that our children need to embrace Christ personally for salvation. They must receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation as He is offered in the gospel. So God has made precious covenant promises like Genesis 17:17, at the establishment of the Abrahamic covenant, specifically the sign of circumcision, which is in the New Testament form of that is baptism, of course. So at the beginning of this Abrahamic covenant, with the establishment of the sign of circumcision as the outward sign of that covenant, God says this to Abraham: "I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." It's a great, precious covenant promise. And the new covenant repeats that same promise. In Jeremiah 32, verses 38 to 40, God is giving the new covenant promise through the prophet Jeremiah, that new covenant that would be fulfilled in Christ, that is in many ways the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. But this is how Jeremiah prophesies, how God speaks through Jeremiah. "They shall be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever." That's that regeneration promise that is so tied up with the new covenant promises, both in Jeremiah and in Ezekiel. So, "They shall be my people, I will be their God, I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for their own good and the good of their children after them. I will make with them an everlasting covenant, and I will not turn away from doing good to them." So it's, again, it's a precious repetition of the covenant promise that was given to Abraham as it's looking forward to the new covenant form of that promise being fulfilled when Christ would come. And then on the day of Pentecost, Peter stands up and he again echoes this same covenant promise from Genesis and Jeremiah. He says to the crowd of people gathered around who are asking, "What must we do?" He says to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Now, this last one helps us see both sides to this. There is a covenant promise, the promise. That's what Peter's referring to. He's referring to this covenant promise. The promise is for you and your children. But then Peter later says, it's for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So the promise is made in the covenant, but the promise is kept when God calls our children to himself and they have faith in him. So our children are in covenant relationship with God through the covenant of grace because they are a part of the household of believers and they belong in the church. That's why, as Presbyterians, we baptize the infant children of believers, because they are in covenant with God as part of a covenant household, as part of the covenant family of God, the church. But that doesn't mean they're saved. They're not yet born again. They're not yet in Christ. So the promise of the covenant is not that they are born in Christ. No, they are in covenant, which is different. A covenant is a relationship. But covenantal promises of salvation are always in Scripture conditional. God initiates the covenant. God sets up the promises of the covenant, but those covenantal promises are conditional. And in the case of the new covenant, it's very clear what the condition is. The condition is faith. We are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So what we need to tell our children is, God loves you. God gave you Christian parents. God gave you a church family. God put you in a place where you could hear the gospel from a very young age, and God is calling you to salvation in Christ, and you must respond to God's call by trusting in Jesus. That's how we have to teach our children. God has blessed you. God has placed you. God has called you. You must respond to his call by trusting in Christ. And of course, the only way they can respond to the call and trust in Christ is by God's grace changing their hearts. But still, the gospel call is there. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So that is the gospel call. By the way, when Paul tells that to the Philippian jailer, he tells him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. And it's not that the household didn't need faith, but that the household was going to be brought into a covenant relationship with God where faith would be more natural, as it were. It would be more expected because they were going to be hearing the gospel. And of course, they would hear it from Paul and they would come to believe. So sometimes we set these things against each other as if somehow being in covenant means you don't need to respond to Christ by faith, or somehow the need to respond to Christ by faith means that you're not in covenant. These two things are together. Scripture holds them together. Our children need to be born again. They need to place their faith in Christ. They need to confess Christ before others, and they need to follow after Christ all the days of their lives. In other words, they need the same thing all other Christians need. They need to regularly, actively trust in Christ, repent of their sins, and follow after him, believing in him, trusting in him, resting on him. And that's what we need to call them to. So when we pray with them at night, how can we pray for them? Well, we pray, Lord, thank you for giving me my son. Thank you for calling him to be a part of your family. Thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life so that we could have salvation. Help us to trust in Christ. Give us faith in Christ. Give this child faith in Christ. Let them trust in Jesus now and always. So don't assume that they have faith. That's a very dangerous place to be. Don't assume that they have faith. Call them to faith. Pray that they would have faith. And believe that God, who made the promise, will keep the promise. And you will see the fruit of that promise when they do come to faith in Christ and they do profess his name before people. So I hope that's a helpful answer of how we hold together that our children are in covenant relationship with God as children of the covenant, children of the household of faith, and yet they are called to place their faith in Christ. They must believe in Christ for salvation. And so we both teach them that they belong to God by covenant, but they have a responsibility to trust Christ for salvation. Well, that was our first Ask the Pastor. I hope you'll keep tuning in to hear more of these in the future. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church.